You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
All right, everybody got your Bibles? If you would, turn with me to Isaiah 40. I want to bless you this morning. Something from God's Word. You know, thank God you're in a church where we believe the Bible. You may think, well, of course we're in church. I mean, well, you'd be surprised. There are some churches that hardly ever even turn to the Bible, and their sermon is probably about 15, 20 minutes. Nothing wrong with short sermons, but it doesn't have any scripture in it. It'd be a nice poem and a nice saying, and I like poems and nice joke. I have no problem with jokes. But the crux or the center, the base, the foundation of everything we say should be God's Word. Amen? Because it really doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what International Outreach Church believes. What matters is what God says in His Word. And you're not going to go to heaven on what I tell you. You're going to go to heaven on what God says and what you believe according to His Word. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you'll go to heaven. Not because you believe what I say, but because you believe what He says. You know, I love what Billy Graham said one time. He was interviewed. I don't remember the interview. I think it might have been Sam Donaldson. It was years ago. And, of course, they're very respectful to Billy Graham, and rightly so. My goodness, what a hero of the faith. But they asked him, they said, Reverend Graham, are you saying that there's this little Jewish person over here that, you know, has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior and, you know, has been faithful to their Jewish faith, and they die not accepting Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior as you teach? Are you, Reverend Billy Graham, are you saying that he won't go to heaven? Are you saying that he will go to hell because he has not accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior? I love his answer, and you have to listen to it, listen to the whole thing. He said, oh, no, I'm not saying that. That's what Jesus said. All I'm saying is that I believe what Jesus said. And you have to make a decision as to whether you believe Jesus' words or not. That's all Reverend Billy Graham said. I thought that was such a good answer. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I believe what Jesus said. Now, whether you believe it or not, that's your choice, amen? But it doesn't really matter what I say. We need to get this straight. It doesn't really matter. It matters what God says. And you need to know what God says. You're going to find out He's for you, not against you. You'll find out He's greater than all your problems, hallelujah. You'll find out that He's really done everything He's done with you in mind, that all this Jesus business is all about you, always has been. It's not about Him. He didn't create you so He could fellowship. He already had fellowship. He was fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He didn't create you so He could love. He already loved. They loved each other. Are you with me? He created you to share His love. He created you to share His fellowship because that's what God is. He's about sharing. He's about loving. God is love. Now, God's holy. I understand that. And there are ways we should live that will please Him, ways that we live that don't please Him. And that's why we have the Bible, so we know what's right and know what's wrong. But it's all about Him. Amen. Amen. And His great love for us. And He is crazy about us. Woo. Isaiah 40, you found it? Nobody found it? Eva, you found it? Good. Okay, y'all follow Eva. Isaiah 40, I want you to notice this, how it starts out. It says, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. I love that. That's my job. My job is not to hit you over the head. Now, I stand up for what is right and declare what is wrong, obviously. I mean, you'll always find in this church we believe in living holy, living right before God. But not in a condemning manner. I don't say that to hate. We don't hate people that are lost. I don't hate, you know, we live in a world where anytime you say anything about anybody, it's all of a sudden politically incorrect. You know, and there are many churches that have fallen into that trap, that have bought the lie, where they won't ever mention sin because they don't want to offend anybody. But see, it's not about offending. It's about love. It's about helping. If I love you, I don't want you to continue to sin. I don't want to tell you that it's okay. You know, I don't want to stand up here and say it's okay to live together because everybody's living together. I don't want to stand up here and say it's okay to be gay or homosexual because it's not okay to be gay or homosexual. God doesn't hate those people. We don't hate you. We don't hate anyone. But that's sin according to what God said. You have to make a decision whether you believe that or not, but I've made my decision. I believe what God says. Amen? But I don't hate. I don't hate people. In fact, bring the homosexual, bring the adulterer, bring the people living together. If they'll come to Jesus, we'll take them. We all got a past. We got no stones to throw. Now, some of you may cringe at that, but it doesn't matter. If someone repents of their sin, we're going forward. We're not going backwards. Amen? So we don't hate people. But I have to say that we don't believe sin is sin. Well, no, we do believe sin is sin. And we have to be clear and plain about that. But we do it in love. We love people. God is for people. You know, I used to do drugs. I used to be in jails. I used to do all kinds of wild things. It was wrong. It's sin. I thought I was cool, but I was a fool. But I accepted Jesus. Amen. Repented of my sin and accepted Jesus. That's all in the past. And that's not who I am anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. And so, you know, your preacher's just was an old druggie. Hello? Everybody say was. That's not who I am today. I'm somebody else now. I've got a past. You got a past. We all have past. The only person I know who never did anything wrong was Brenda. But anyway. Brenda hated all my friends. She had such discernment even back then. You know, she couldn't stand anybody I hung around with. And she was right. Just couldn't stand them. They were terrible. But I don't know why she liked me so much. The main reason she liked me so much, I think really, is because I lied like a dog. I lied to her about everything. You know, when we first started dating. And you know, thank God for Brenda. We've been married for over 40 years. Goodness. Wow. I don't know how she put up with me. First verse, comfort ye, my people, saith God. That's my job, okay? This is what I do. I come and I help you and I comfort you and I bring you hope and I bring you life. And yes, I correct, no question. I've done that already, talked about sin. We talk about living right and so on and so forth. But when you come to church, you should get comfort. You should get help. That's what church is about. Churches are not about hanging you over hell and let your feet dancing in the flames. There is a hell to shun and there is a heaven to gain. But we're not about preaching hell. We're about preaching heaven. Do I mention hell? All the time. Sure. You don't have to go there. That's the good news, though. There is a hell, and more people go there and go to heaven. It's a sad truth. But you don't have to go there. The gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? That's the message. Amen. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you life. That's the message. Praise God. The message is that Jesus loves you, and he's for you, and he's not against you. And all you got to do is call on him. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Comfort. My people is what he says. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever you're going through, there's hope. There's a sun shining on the other side of that cloud. There is a silver lining there. Hallelujah. Just don't give up. Don't quit. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the tragedy that you face. There's pain in this life. I understand that. There's loss in this life. I understand that. We're not in heaven, but we do have hope, and we do have someone to call on, and we do have comfort in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm a Christian. Thank God I know who to call on. I know who to run to when I'm in trouble. I know who to run to when the world is caving in on me, when depression rolls in like a cloud, when it seems like my life is pointless and nobody cares and nobody knows the trouble I've seen, as the song goes. I know who to call on and who to run to and where to get comfort from. When I feel like a shell of a man, when the world is creeping in on me and everything's going wrong on my day, and every news I hear is bad news, and if it weren't for bad news, I'd hear no news at all. You know, I know where I can get good news. Yes, sir. I know where my strength is, hallelujah. I can run to God. And in church of all places, come on, this is a place where you ought to get healed up, where you ought to get help, where you ought to get fed, where you ought to walk out of those doors better than you walked in, hallelujah. And that is my job. That's what I do. As a minister, every minister should do that. And every one of us as Christians should share that same hope and that same comfort to a lost and a suffering and a dying world. Amen. World's in pain. Are you with me? Yes. You might be in pain with it, but there's hope. Amen? Amen? So he says, comfort ye, my people. That's my message. You know, I got it. I couldn't help but turn out this way, if you want to know the truth. We started going to Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas years ago. John Osteen, that's Joel Osteen's dad, was our pastor. And we went there from 1975 to 1982. And I tell you, I just walked out of every service charged up, felt like $1 million, and you know, knew God was on my side and I could make it, hallelujah. And I found out that God loved me, didn't hate me. That God wasn't all about control, he was about love. You know, we just think God's just about control, controlling us. But no, God's about love, he loves us. And Bert and I just took it to heart, hallelujah, changed our lives, my goodness. I mean, I got saved in 1975, and shortly thereafter started going to Lakewood Church, and it just, now Brother Osteen is a lot different than Joe. I love Joe, don't get me wrong. I think he's making an impact around the world. People get all upset about him because he's not so, you know, dynamic maybe as his dad, but I tell you what, he has reached millions and millions of people for Jesus Christ. And he's just a real humble guy. That's just Joe. That's the way he is. We've known him since he was a kid. And he's just real sweet, real. If you meet him in public, he would be shuffling his feet with his head down. He's just real shy. He's a real humble guy. His dad was the polar opposite of that. John Osteen would be running from one end here to the other, preaching and jumping up and down, and he was just a fireball. But he had that same positive attitude. He had that same "you can make it" attitude. You know, he had that same "Jesus loves you and he's for you and not against you. You can make it. Come out of the prison. What are you doing in the prison?" You know, you just felt like $1 million when you got out of those services. And Joe's different in his personality, but the message is still Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Y'all out there?
Yes.
Comfort, that's what we're about. You know, when God called me to teach, I'd been saved 1 year. I was at Lakewood Church, incidentally. And my hometown is Center, Texas, C-E-N-T-E-R. I was an S-I-N-N-E-R, N-C-E-N-T-E-R when I was growing up. Thank God I got saved. But when God called me to teach, I was in Lakewood Church. It was in May of 1976, and I was sitting in a service, actually a Monday night. I was a guest speaker there teaching on Numbers 13, the 12 spies. 10 came with a bad report, 2 came with a good. Well, anyway, the minister got through ministering and prayed for a lot of people. A lot of things happened. But during her message, it was a lady that was ministering, and she's since gone on to be with the Lord. But during her message, as she was ministering, Lakewood at that time probably had 700 people maybe that time. God was speaking to me. I had an open vision, and I never had one. I mean, I come out of a pretty wild background, and not a lot of education. Was kicked out of high school. Didn't finish high school, and just wild. Got saved when I was 19, and just threw myself into God. And to the Bible. Didn't realize I was called to teach. Didn't understand all that, but I just consumed with reading the Bible, studying the Bible, knowing everything there was to know about God. Witnessing to everybody. I just witnessed to a telephone pole if it stopped long enough, you know. And I was in that service, and I saw my hometown, and I saw a church in my hometown that I recognized, and I saw people that I recognized in this vision. It was the weirdest thing, strangest thing for me. I wasn't used to any of this. And I saw a whole line of people going in the front door of a church, and they were all dressed up, and they all looked good. They just looked great, smiles on their faces, like you guys. Y'all look great. But the problem was they were going in the church that way. And then I saw them coming out the back door. It's like a back side door. I can see it just as plain as day. I know that church. I've been in that church. And I saw them coming out the back door. A whole lot different than they went in. And they weren't happy. And they were beat up. And they were just, in this vision, I saw them. They were just bent over and tore up and beat up and just a line of them going in and coming out worse than it went in, you know. And I heard a voice. I didn't know anything about voices at that time either. I was 20 at this time. And the Lord said, "I want you to do something about that." And I said, I'm not trying to appeal to Duck Dynasty. It's just the way I talked back then. I said, "You got the wrong cat, Jack. No way." I remember saying that. I was talking to God. I was shaking my head. I was gritting my teeth. I was trying not to cry because I wasn't into that, you know. And boy, try me now. I'll cry in a heartbeat. But anyway, I said, "You got the wrong cat, Jack." Nope. I'm in a service, and I'm begging God to leave me alone. I said, "God, leave me alone. Come on, please. I can't do anything about that." He said, "I want you to do something about that." He just didn't pay a bit of attention to me. And he said, "I want you to do something about it." I said, "I can't do anything about that. God, just leave me alone. There's people everywhere around here. There's people. Leave me alone. Just please leave me alone. Please, God, please." And I love God, but this was scaring me. This was shaking me up. I mean, I was just happy to be saved, you know, and happy to tell people about Jesus. And now he's asking me to do something very particular that I have no qualifications for at all. And I don't know how to do this thing. And so I'm just begging him. I said, "God, please leave me alone." And he finally said, just as plain as day to me, I guess in my spirit, but it was a voice to me. And he said, "I am calling you to teach my word." He didn't say preach, he said teach. And I believe in preaching, teaching, all that. But he asked me to teach. And this lady that was ministering, she got through, just fixing to walk off the platform, and she's standing here. She says, "Well, God's done a lot of wonderful things here tonight." And she named off several things that happened. She said, but he's called one young man to teach his word. Wow. Stepped off the platform. Wow. There, it hit me again. And I was so embarrassed about it, I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even tell Brenda. In fact, we got home and went to bed, and Brenda went to sleep in 5 minutes like she always does. And me, I'm wide awake, you know. So I slip out of bed and go into the living room of the apartment where we were staying, and I told God I'd do it.
Praise God.
I remember that prayer. I said, God, I don't know what in the world you're doing. I said, I don't have any education. I don't have any money. I don't have anything to do this. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't know. I don't understand it. But if you say you want me to do that, I will do that. And I remember saying, I said, I go all over the world and teach your word. If that's what you want me to do, right now I accept it. Done deal. I accept it. I will do it. And you know what? I've been all over the world. Taught his word. Been to India. Been to Australia. Been to Africa. Been to Guatemala and Mexico. Been to Elmo and Frog and Edgewood. And been all over. But see, what from that vision and what I got, and I've done my best to stay true to it ever since in teaching God's word, is to bring comfort to God's people, where people walk out of church better than they walk into church, more knowledgeable about Him, more knowledgeable about themselves, more knowledgeable about the world they live in, and better to be a witness, better to be a light, and better to be an example of God's love to the world. You know, the world, the good thing about the church is that it's what God uses to bring the world to Him. The bad thing about the church is that God uses the church to bring Him to Him. It's the best and the worst. We're the reason people don't come to church. Are you with me? And we're the reason people do come to church, depending on who we are and how we live our lives and how we present God to people. If we're out there blasting Him, and, you know, people look at us as hate mongers many times because we disagree. But that has a lot to do with the way we present it sometimes. Are you with me? We ought to present what we present in love. We shouldn't compromise the truth. We shouldn't compromise holy living, but we ought to love people, and we ought to bring comfort to people. This is the best deal ever was right here. Getting saved and accepting Jesus, it doesn't get any better than this right here. We got eternal benefits, and we got daily benefits. We ought to be telling everybody about this. This is the best news that ever was. Brother Osteen used to get on an airplane, and he'd sit down, and he'd said, lots of times he'd sit down, the guy would have his newspaper, and he'd pull out his Bible, and he'd punch him, and he says, you got the bad news, and I got the good news. We got good news. And we're here to comfort God's people. Notice what it says. It goes on and says this. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, crying to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Well, isn't that good news for the sinner? Your sins have been forgiven. Amen. The price has been paid. Well, it has been. It's been paid in Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's the message. Amen. And that's the message for all of us. I don't know what you're going through, but I know someone that's bigger than what you're going through. I know somebody that cares about you, really loves you more than your daddy, more than your mama. I hope you had a good one. I hope you had a good parents. But your best parents, your best mama, your best daddy, nothing compared to how much God loves you and how much God cares about you. Hallelujah. And He's really on your side. He's really for you. Hey, skip on down to 27th verse. Let's pick this up, the 27th verse. This helping anybody? Amen. Oh, come on. I get up here and bear my soul before you. At least you could do is say amen. Try to be as transparent as I can. I have never been able to share that story about me getting called without crying. Or my testimony. I cannot share my testimony without losing it, because it's so real to me. Changed my life completely. Changed the whole direction of my future and my family. All my children right now are serving God, and their children are serving God. Several of them are involved in this church, as you well know. And, you know, and then the ones that have moved off, they're involved in churches where they're moved off to. You know, there's nothing, but I'm a blessed man. You can have all the money in the world, and I don't have a problem with money. I think money's fine. God blesses us with it. But to have your family serve God, and your children to rise up and cause you blessed, that's, I'm living a good life. I'm a happy, happy, happy man. Amen. Notice what it says in 27 verse, same chapter. It says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God? Don't you ever think God doesn't care about you. Don't you ever think God hasn't seen your pain and not aware of your situation. See, that is to make God out what he is not, to make him something he is not. God is good. He's not bad. God doesn't delight in your pain. He doesn't delight in your suffering. He hasn't rejected you. He hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't forgotten you. Don't you point that finger at him. Are you out there? The problem is either the devil or it's you or your mother-in-law. No, I'm just kidding. God, just trying to wake you up out there. You know, the problem is not God, though, is what I'm saying. It could be any number of things, but it's not him. He loves you and he's for you. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God. Has thou not known? Have you not heard? Hello? You almost want to walk up to people and just knock on their head, you know. Hello, anybody in there? Have you not heard? What do you mean God's forsaking you? Whoa, you are ill-informed, as it were. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching his understanding. Oh, man. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. He's not the one that made you weak. He's the one that's going to make you strong. He's not the one that gave you the problem. He's the one that's bringing you the answer. Hallelujah. I love this 29th verse where it says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. You ever been there? Yeah. I've been there. I've been there lots of times. I mean, you know, the man says he never was afraid. He's lying to you anyway. We all deal with fear. You cut us, we bleed. And the guy says he never struggles. Well, we all struggle. Come on. We all have, you know, every day's not perfect. Some days you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. You know the song. I wish it were not so. I wish it were like it is in the movies, but it's not. You know, we have struggled. We have days we struggle, but, you know, God is there to help us if we'll call on him. I've had days I felt like a shell of a man. I've had days where, you know, just one tragedy after another, maybe people in the church having problems, genuine problems, life or death crisis and so on, and by the end of the day, I'm just a shell of a man. I can't take another phone call. I'm thinking, I don't know if I can. It's not like that all the time, but there are times that it does happen. And you think, man, I don't think I can make it. But if you pray, and invariably it's happened over and over, and let me testify, hallelujah, God has always come through in my life and strengthened me and always helped me, and I've always made it. And I'm here today, and I'm still standing. And you are too. Amen? You walked in these doors, and here you are in church. You've gone through stuff like everybody has. We all have. You know, life's got cuts and bruises and bumps and sharp edges, and it bites and it grabs, but you know what? If you come in here believing God and trusting God, you can get through it, and you can come out winning. You can come out ahead. You can come out with comfort. You can come out with strength you didn't know you had. See, we're not like the world in this sense, hopeless. We have hope. Same things happen to all of us, but see, we can get over it sometimes when the world can't. That's why they need to come to Jesus to get the strength we've got. Notice what it says. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. The Moffat translation says, into the weary he puts power and adds new strength to the weak. Woo! Hallelujah, somebody. Everybody say new strength. I love it. The Amplified says, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Hallelujah. So when you think you're out, you're not out. When you think it's over, it's not over. God will actually multiply strength to you. Not pain. Didn't say he'll multiply pain. It says he'll multiply strength. And he to the weary, he'll put power inside. You know, I love what Joel 3:10 says. It says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Now, isn't that good? Because how many times you're weak, you just say, I'm weak. What we ought to say is, I'm strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, that doesn't mean you feel that way, but it means you're believing for that. It means that's what you're going to connect to. That's what you're going to hook up with. God, I'm going to get out of myself and get into him. Hallelujah. I'm going to hook on into his strength. I'm going to say I'm strong in Jesus' name. I'm strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. It's his strength, his power, that I'm tapping into. Thank God it's not all over when you feel down. Amen? I heard a guy say one time, or I read it somewhere, says, I'm never down. I'm either up or I'm getting up. Maybe we spend a lot of time getting up, but don't stay down. Amen? Don't get down. Don't stay there. You get back on your feet. Even the youth, 30th verse says, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. There are no supermen. If I were just like somebody else, I could make it. No, they got problems just like you got. Well, if I was so-and-so, no, it won't matter. It wouldn't matter who you were. It wouldn't matter how young you were. If I was a younger man or a younger woman, well, it wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter. Everybody has trials. Everybody has tribulation. We're in a broken world. You need God. I need God. And he is available. That's the good news. Amen? You can make it. I can make it. Don't you throw the towel in. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. If you're out of strength, he's got plenty. You just need to call. If you need some milk, you go down to the grocery store, okay? You know, you need strength, call on God. It's just that simple. And it's all free. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord. Oh, that's so good, isn't it? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I never will forget, years ago, it was Butch Bruton, Pastor Butch Bruton, Cattle Mills, good friend of ours. He's, in fact, on our board. I've known Butch and Darlene for years and years. Butch said they were having a men's meeting for something, and they all gathered around. Something was going on in the church, and I think Pastor Butch said something, or somebody said it. Says, men sound like we need to pray. And one of the men says, oh, no, has it come down to that? See, that's the problem. It seems to be the last resort, and that's why we go through so much that we don't have to go through, because we wait until we've tried everything else, and then we go, hey, sound like we need to pray. And I'd be the first to admit, I can remember cases that went on for a day or two or 3 days before I prayed about it. I go, wow, I didn't even pray about this. No wonder I'm having so much trouble. It's kind of like, y'all seen that commercial, the guy's working out and says, you been working out every day? Yeah. He's got a trainer standing over him. You been eating your vegetables every day? He says, well, when I can. And she pops him on the head and says, you could have had a V8. Yeah. You know, you could have drank a V8 every day and got your veggies. Well, hey, you could have prayed. Yeah. You could have prayed, because it says those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I got it. There's the problem. I hadn't been waiting on God. I haven't been trusting God like I should. That's a challenge to all of us, amen? I don't know what you're going through. It may be marital, maybe your kids, it may be financial, maybe physical, maybe the loss of a loved one or someone that's, you know, the tragedy of losing a loved one, you know, someone that's close, maybe a child, that's got to be the worst thing that ever happened to anybody. I can't imagine. But I know God does give comfort and strength. The tragedy is the thing that we wanted to say or the thing that we wanted to do, But you got to realize that if they're in heaven, why would you want anybody to come back from heaven? As bad as you want to see them, and I know that, and I understand that. I'm with you. I'll be crying there with you. I'll be on the floor with you crying. But I have to admit, we're all going to go to heaven if we know Jesus is Lord and Savior. And there's not a better place anybody could be. And in that we ought to rejoice. And in that we ought to comfort each other. Sure, we miss them. Sure, we wish we'd have said something else. Sure, I wish I could hold them one more time and say it one more time. And, you know, but, you know, I will get to do that. It's just going to be a little longer than I anticipated. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's going to be a little while later. Are you with me? It's going to happen, though, and we're going to see them. Hallelujah. We're all going to have this great reunion in the sky, and it is going to be awesome. Hallelujah. Woo! Are you with me? But if I wait on God, he'll help me. Amen? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. You know, I love that example, because all an eagle does is just lock his wings. You know, when the wind and the turbulence and the storms and all start going, he just locks his wings. And what happens is all that turmoil and all that pressure and all that wind just pushes them higher. Yeah. Yeah. So what would destroy some people because of the position of the wings pushes the eagle higher. Now all he's got to do is fold his wings. He's going to drop like a rock. And all you and I got to do is take our hands back down. We'll drop like a rock too. But if we keep our hands up there to God, what will destroy people will push us higher. Are you with me? What will burn other people up will do nothing but burn the ropes off us, and we won't even have the smell of smoke on us. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were in the fire, but you know, they were trusting God. And when they came out, not only were they not burnt, the only thing burnt on them was the thing that held them back. The only thing that burnt them was the bonds. Only thing that burn up, and that's the only thing that'll burn up with you in the time of trial, in the time of tragedy. If you'll call on God and you'll look to God and you'll wait on God, not only will you be set free from it, but you'll have burdens fall off you, and you'll rise above what will destroy other people because you're waiting on the Lord. Comfort ye, my people. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Hallelujah. I need some of that. They shall walk and not faint. The Young's literal translation says, those expecting Jehovah pass to power. Boy, that's a good one. Did y'all get that? I'd like to pass from weakness to strength here. I'd like to pass to power. Well, those that wait on Jehovah shall pass to power. The Amplified says, who expect, who look for, and hope in him shall change and renew their strength and power. Change. Change that weakness to strength. Change that faintness, you know, to standing. Hallelujah. Wow. What causes other people to fall, you'll stand in. And it's not about being young. It's not about being old. It's about waiting upon the Lord. Amen? Hey, while you're in Isaiah 41st chapter, just a couple verses there, we'll wrap this up. This helping anybody? Okay. Notice the 8th verse. It says 41, Isaiah 41, verse 8, just right on down the next chapter. But thou, O Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. I love that, Abraham, my friend. Notice how he talks about Abraham. That way. Abraham's the father of faith. And if we have a connection with the Old Testament, it would be the promise that God made to Abraham, not the law he gave to Moses, because we're under grace. Amen? But we are connected to Abraham. The Bible never calls Moses a father, but it calls Abraham a father, the father of faith. Romans 4th chapter talks about it. All through the scripture, it talks about Abraham being the father of faith. God made a promise to Abraham, and we are receiving that promise. We're in the fulfillment of that promise took place in Jesus. He was the seed of Abraham. That's what the Bible says. But it says here, thou, O Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called you from the chief men thereof and said to you, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. It's good. Amen. Fear not. For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Man, what a promise. And I love that, because when he talks about his right hand, you know, he's talking about looking you in the eye. Because if my right hand, like if he was talking about to Ryan, he'd put his right hand in his right hand and look him right in the eye. I will uphold you with my right hand. He's not behind us, beside us. He's looking right in front of us. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, here's a good one. A couple of different translations on this one. Y'all like these different translations? Did you know there is no holy translation? The letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. If you think Paul preached out of the King James Version, he really didn't. I read the King James. In fact, I've been quoting out of the King James all morning. But there's a lot of good translations. It's the spirit of it that's holy. Amen? Y'all out there? I think we shouldn't have talked about that baked potato dinner. I think everybody's thinking about it. Okay. Anyway, where it says here, I will strengthen you. The J.B. Rotherham translation, there's a good one. The Emphasized Bible, they call it. The Emphasized, not Amplified. Says, I have emboldened you. Yeah, I have helped you. I have upheld you with my righteous right hand. Everybody say emboldened. Oh man, here's the Amplified. This is it's loud. Amplified. It says, "Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties." See, sometimes we're praying for easier lives, and God wants to make us stronger men and women. Now, he's not behind the tragedy, but what he wants to do, he wants to strengthen us and harden us to difficulty. I'd like to get hardened to temptation and hardened to difficulty. That I, you know, when you're hard, you're not affected. In a negative way, a hard man is someone who's unaffected by people's pain and tragedy. Kids are crying around him, and he doesn't even care. His wife is hurting, and he doesn't even care. And we say he's a hard man. He's a hard man. In other words, it doesn't break through. It doesn't affect him. He's unaffected by other people's pain. Well, God says, I will harden you to difficulty, to where the devil throws his best shot, you're still standing. That you don't crater, you don't give in, you don't throw in the towel. He strengthens you when temptation comes. God strengthens you when the devil throws his best shot, when he tries to get you to quit and give up. God hardens you to difficulty. That's a good way to be hardened, as opposed to being hardened to people's pain and hurt. And are you with me? Now, I want that in my life. I don't want to say, God, let no pain ever come. Let no one ever disagree with me. Let no one ever persecute me. Let my life be so easy. Hello. That's what our country's turning into. That's what our country's, our government's trying to tell people, is they don't have to do anything. We'll take care of everything. But that's not how you make men and women. Hello. That's not how you raise your children. You raise your children to learn responsibility, to work and work hard. That's what made this country what it is today. And God is trying to make something out of us. God loves us too much to leave us where we are. Yeah, he'll baby feed us while we're a baby, but it's not, you know, when your baby's spoon feeding your kid when he's 16 years old, it's not cute anymore. Are you out there? You need to teach them how to hold that spoon, how to hold that fork. And you need to hold their hand until you can let it go and let them walk by themselves and learn to use their own feet. See, God loves us too much to leave us where we are. He takes us where we are, but he doesn't leave us where we are. He brings us up, hallelujah. And God's strength is something that causes us to handle the pains of life, the tragedies, struggles of life, and now we can help others get through their pain and their mess. Are you out there? He hardens us to difficulty. Lord, don't take all the difficult times away. Lord, give me strength to overcome them in Jesus' name. Now, obviously, I pray, you know, for healing when sickness comes. I pray that things get better, but I am also praying for strength to handle, because there's always going to be pain in life. Are you out there? Man, I wouldn't know it. I mean, I say you're out there, and you say you are, but I... Woo! That's good preaching. Okay. I'm just trying to help you. I want you to know God will help you. He will help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll make you the best you could ever be. I'm telling you, he'll put you on your feet again. He'll take you out of that bed of affliction and get you on your feet. Hallelujah. Take you out of that sin, get you walking the road of holy living. Hallelujah. He can do it. He can do it. He'll get you back on your feet where you can love people instead of hate people, forgive people instead of hold grudges against people. Get rid of that pain and roll that cloud of depression out of your life and let the sun shine again. He can do that. He can do that if you'll call on him. If you wait on the Lord, he'll renew your strength. Hallelujah. He'll put strength into you. Woo! He'll uphold you with his righteous right hand. He'll harden you to difficulties. He'll comfort you, because that's what God does. God is a comforter. Amen? You know, you got a favorite chair at home where you just love to just sit in that chair? Or at the end of the day, go to bed. Oh, man, it feels so good to get under those covers. It's comforting, isn't it? Well, God's waiting for us to come to him. Most comfortable place you could be is in his presence. Come to Jesus. You need a come to Jesus meeting. Amen.